Sports Central.
Tennis. 33.4 degrees. Yes, it's summer. That means lots of things, but it also means Brett Phillips is on board, our SEN tennis expert, with lots of tennis coming up in the next weeks and months. Brett, you're going to be a busy, busy boy.
Yes, be fair to say, Kev. And I thought I'd take advantage of a rare Saturday off. So just down at Safety Beach at the moment. What a great spot.
Oh, nice.
Here. But I'll tell you what, it is warm outside. No doubt about it.
Yeah, no, and got some big stuff coming up in the tennis world. Some of the big names have been sort of just out of the spotlight, not quite right underneath the spotlight, just sort of circling for this summer of Australian tennis and letting everyone know they're still around and they might not be number one and number two anymore, but, you know, everyone knows Rog and good old Rafael around and they're still in the mix.
Well, they are. And look, both have had some really interesting comments to say over the last few days. In fact, I was only reading something this morning that, you know, Roger Federer had written. I think it was he was interviewed by the New York Times. And, you know, he's the last 6 months hasn't played on the tour. And, you know, I suppose he's had a little taste of what retirement life could look like. You know, there hasn't been, pack the suitcase and jump on the next flight and stay at the next hotel. It's actually been at home with Mirka and, you know, I think the two sets of twins. And but look, he did say, you know, I feel like I'm a long way from that. I'm certainly not ready to call it a day. But, I mean, look, injury and form may dictate that. So I think the early part of the season is going to give us a real indication with Federer and also Rafael Nadal, who's, you know, certainly declared himself fully fit, ready to go to make his debut at the Brisbane International. He'll arrive in the next few days. And, you know, normally he started his preparation when he's been fit and able in, you know, at Qatar in the Middle East. So it's a great coup, certainly, for the Brisbane tournament to have Nadal hopefully fully fit. And, yeah, it's been a while since we've seen Rafa put a full season together. So he's dipped, down about number nine, Rogers at 16. So very unfamiliar territory for both. But let's hope for men's tennis that, you know, they've got another little chapter to write and can really push, you know, Murray and Djokovic, the biggest rivalry going around, obviously, at the moment.
Could either of those two win could you see them winning an Australian Open?
Oh, to be honest, right here and now, probably not.
Yeah.
You know, I think Murray, you know, goes in as the clear favourite. He is at the peak of his powers. What a, you know, his last 6 months, he just played sublime tennis. I think probably the most fascinating storyline out of the top four, the big four of the last decade, is Novak Djokovic and how he's going to bounce back after, not quite been able to be at the lofty heights he was for 18 months. And there's probably been a little bit harsh on Djokovic. I mean, he still had a, you know, he was still pretty decent in the second half of the year, but he certainly lost his edge and lost a few of those finals to Murray. And, you know, previous, he had, you know, the wood on Murray by a long way. So I'm really keen to see how he bounces back now post Boris Becker. But I think, you know, there probably shouldn't be any great expectations of Federer and Nadal. But if they do get back and can stay healthy, I mean, they, you know, they're at their best, you know, better than the rest of the pack who have been around for a long time, Berdych and Songer and, you know, even, you know, Cilic, who stepped up to win one. Nishikori hasn't broken through yet and, you know, still can't absolutely beat the best guys. You know, Wawrinka has played good tennis in Australia and, you know, he's probably capable of bobbing up and upsetting everyone this coming January. When I think of Stan, I just think of some amazing matches he has played at the Australian Open in the ninth session. So, yeah, I think there's a few interesting questions on the men's side of the draw, that's for sure.
And you would have looked at the back page of the Herald Sun today and seen the big headline, "I was cooked. Kyrgios says new Nick has emerged from the ruins of Shanghai." He's clearly talking about himself in the third person, which I don't like. But anyway, he could do anything too, couldn't he?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the other storyline, isn't it? How's he going to come out of the ban, the fine, having some time away from the tour? What's Nick Kyrgios we're going to see? And until we get a glimpse, and we will get a glimpse in the next week, of course, with the Hopman Cup starting. But that format over there obviously isn't as intense. It's not, you know, for ATP points. It's, you know, technically an exhibition, although, you know, it's built itself up to be such a great tournament on the Australian tennis calendar. I think it's, you know, it's into its 23rd year and, you know, it's a great sitting there at the Perth Arena and the players love it because they're guaranteed some matches. I mean, if you go to Brisbane or you go to some of the tournaments overseas, you get knocked out first round, then you haven't got those matches under your belt coming into an Australian Open. So players like that, you're at least guaranteed three matches and some will come to Kooyong and are guaranteed the same. So, yeah, more relaxed environment over there where we, you know, saw Nick at his happiest when he and Daria Gavrilova played a great tournament in January this year. But come to the Australian Open when all eyes are just on him on court. We're not quite sure what Nick Kyrgios we're going to see. You know, you'd hope that the penny's probably dropped now, and hopefully we'll see him at his best.
I'm sure it won't be dull or boring, Brett.
No. we don't want him to be dull or boring.
No, absolutely we don't. Yeah. But we also want him to be somewhat controlled if he can possibly do that. Hey, Sam Groth, during the week, you got some good news?
Yeah, given the wild card. And look, you know, certainly on reflection, I think he probably deserves it. He's had a tough run, Sam, certainly with injury. And look, you have to take that into account. Injury is a big factor, but I think his form... you know, certainly dropped away. I think the change of coach didn't help that. I mean, he and Ben Mathias had an amazing relationship, and Ben, you know, got the best out of him there for a couple of years. I think the partnership with Joe Sirianni will be fascinating. I mean, Joe Sirianni's a pretty laid-back guy, and, you know, talking to Sam on the first serve a few weeks ago, he loves a companionship on the tour in what can be a very lonely sport. So, you know, I think, you know, Sam's not looking for someone to come and bark orders and necessarily, you know, transform his whole game. Just someone who can, I think, just build his confidence up and just reassure him that he's doing okay when things aren't quite going his way. But, you know, look, certainly, hopefully, you know, the fitness will be to a reasonable level. He did look, I must say, not in the absolute tip-top shape at the playoff.
Okay.
So we'll have to wait and see, because he does need to be a little bit lighter if he's going to, you know, certainly match it on the ground with these players when we start getting into rallies and he's got to move side to side and get to the net. You know, he needs to be pretty nimble around the court, and that's, you know, that's the thing that he needs to improve to really complement his big serve.
You mentioned the Hopman Cup. We've got Brisbane, we've got Tasmania, Hobart coming up, and they've particularly Brisbane and Tassie, been springboards for launching into a year for some players. Do you expect to see that happen again?
Yeah, look, it can be. I mean, I think for a Sam Stosur, I mean, she's just never played well here in Australia, and that's such a shame. You know, she's always bombed out pretty early in Brisbane and Sydney traditionally, and you know, and so we had, I think, a couple of fourth-round appearances at the Australian Open over, 12 or 13 years. So, yeah, it'd be nice to see Sam have a run, because, you know, she's been easy fodder to criticise over the journey, and we sort of forget, you know, and I have to probably check myself at times, Kev, when you look through and, you know, top 30 for the last 8 years, she has won a major, and, you know, there's a lot of players who have never won a Grand Slam, so...
Yeah.
We have to give her kudos, but unfortunately, she doesn't quite peak in Australia. She normally saves that for the clay and you know, the hard courts of America come August, September. So it'd be nice to see her hopefully gain a little bit of confidence. But, you know, we've seen Ash Barty, of course, get a wild card into Brisbane over the last 24 hours, and she's on the comeback trail. And, well, she could be a real genuine star. And we were saying this when she was 16, 17. I know Casey DeLac was played a big part in getting her back on the tour after she, of course, played in the WBBL with the Brisbane Heat last year. So multi-talented. Of all the young girls coming through at the time, Ash was certainly the most talented. So keen to see what a tennis racket looks like in her hand again after sort of, you know, being unseen really for the last 12 to 18 months. She's certainly our best hope sort of behind Daria Gavrilova to make a real impact on the women's side.
Now, Brett Phillips has an alarm clock that he'll need to set for very early hours of the morning, BP. How are you handling that? Are you back on brekkie on Monday?
Well, look, it probably won't make any difference, Kev. You know why? Because the alarm goes off in our house every day at 5:15.
Oh, really?
My wife is, she is the most dedicated person, hasn't quite rubbed off, but she's the most dedicated person to early morning exercise. Once one of you is up, the whole house, every light comes on, mate, I'm up at the crack of dawn every day. So we'll just slip in there for a week and we'll give it our best.
Yeah, no, that sounds good to me. Good on you, BP. Now, what's your favourite Christmas food?
Oh, look, my grandmother, God bless her, she's not with us anymore. She used to make the most unbelievable pudding.
Oh.
And she used to put a 20-cent piece.
I was going to say 20 cents or threepenny bits.
Yeah, 20 cents. You had to dig deep.
Yeah.
Right down the bottom. So
yeah.
You know, you had to eat all your chocolate pudding. No one in the family's quite been able to replicate that. So I do miss that. But, I'll just have to manage it tomorrow pretty well, because, as we know, it can get a bit out of control.
Absolutely. Your favourite Christmas drink? Here we go.
Tomorrow's going to be about 35, so I'm a fan of the Peroni. So I'll have a few quiet Peronis tomorrow.
All right, and your favourite Christmas leftover?
Leftover. Well, I think the ham, the Christmas ham.
Yeah, I'm
the
ham.
Next day.
I'm a ham boy.
I mean, it served me well at a few Boxing Day tests over the years. Put a bit of ham into a roll and right to go.
Yeah, well, you've seen my lunchbox for Monday already then, because that's what I'll be having. Good on you, Brett. Have a nice Christmas with the family, mate, and we'll hear you on Monday morning.
Yeah, look forward to you and yours. Thanks, Jeff.